I picked this particular painting because it's an iconic work in a great collection. It might seem rather obvious, but to me it's dazzling and strange. I love it. It has extraordinary qualities. It seems intimate and close up, but in fact it has a sort of psychological distance, which is very puzzling and mysterious. It's pivotal in Manet's history and Paris's history. It's the end of something and the beginning of something. And that transitional moment seems incredibly important when we're thinking about this picture. It's pivotal because Paris and indeed Manet had just come through the Franco-Prussian War and the Commune. Manet had actually served in the military and survived. Some of his friends didn't. But he came back to Paris and he moved into a new studio on the Rue de Saint-Pétersbourg. And this is the first painting he made after he moved into that new studio. And it's also the last painting he made with this particular female model, Victorine Meuron, who had been his favorite model for years and had posed for the Déjeuner sur l'Herbe and the Olympia. During the Franco-Prussian War, she had gone off to America, but she returned to pose for this one last picture for Manet. She, of course, is the governess or the older sister or the mother, depending on how we interpret it, sitting on the left here. The exhibition history of this painting is extensive, but I think the most important moment for it was in 1998, when it was shown here in the National Gallery as part of an exhibition called Manet, Monet and the Gare Saint-Lazare. And the significance was that Manet was living right next to the Gare Saint-Lazare. Monet was painting it, Manet was painting the area around it. And so it was an extraordinary moment to celebrate the early 1870s, 1872, 1873, and the curator Juliet Wilson Barreau, who did a lot of original research on this picture, discovered some extraordinary things about it. The main fact to remember is that when Manet moved into his new studio in 1872, it was almost next to the railway tracks. Behind the woman and child in this painting, there is this extraordinary complex six-pointed bridge called the Pont de l'Europe. We're standing on one of the northwestern points and we're looking across to the northeastern point, which is where Manet's studio was. And Juliet Barreau identified the building at the top left-hand corner as being the door and the windows of Manet's studio, which is extraordinarily significant for the context of this picture. He painted it in 1872-3, it's dated 1873, and it was that first painting in his new studio. He put it into the Salon of 1874, and it was accepted. Much ridiculed, much despised, but nevertheless accepted. Another painting in this room, which is hanging over there, The Masked Ball, he also submitted for the 1874 Salon, and it was rejected, which is surprising, because actually I think that one was probably more to the taste of the judges than this one would have been. But nevertheless, this was accepted for the 1874 Salon. And it was the subject of criticism, of derision. People couldn't understand the way the little girl was looking away from us, the slightly cool look of Victorine as she looks at us. Why is she reading a book sitting on the edge of the railway tracks with this little puppy in her lap? What's the meaning of this bunch of grapes on the ledge here? But it is a very interesting composition. We can see the railway, that's the title of the painting. We can't see anything else. We can't see a train, we can't see the station. The station's off to our right here. We can just see one pillar of the Pont de l'Europe over there. And we can see this great billowing cloud of steam, which is obscuring half the background. And only Manet's studio there is peeping out of the top corner of the steam. And the center of the painting, the absolute center of the painting, is this blank cloud of steam and the little girl's bare arm. And that's significant because the girl's bare arm is leading up to Victorine's hat. The brim of the hat curls around and ends up on Manet's studio. This is his first picture in that studio, and it is a celebration of the studio. And he uses this very strange, enigmatic composition to celebrate the fact he's now painting there in this luxurious studio, which was his for 6 years. and it was one of the happiest times of his life. He produced some of his greatest masterpieces there, and it was a new beginning for him after the horrors of 1870 and 1871. The Eight Impressionist exhibitions never featured a Manet. Although he was interested, he was looking, he was encouraging, but he never participated. And the whole notion of this composition is quite different to what the Impressionists would have done. Elsewhere in this room, we have Impressionist paintings of Paris, and they couldn't be more different to this. Figures are just little extra details in the streets. Here we have two figures in huge close-up. The Impressionist views of Paris stretch away along the boulevards to distant buildings. Here, the center of the painting is just this cloud of steam. His technique is singular. Manet loved the creamy qualities of paint, and this is probably one of his creamiest pictures. And if you look at the whole area of the book, the hand, the little dog and the fan, and the sleeve down here, this is paint as succulent as you can get. There are three painters in the history of art who used paint like this. Velázquez was one, Manet was another, and Sargent was the third. And Manet admired Velázquez, and Sargent admired Manet. So they were linked by this sort of chain of admiration. And that is really as beautiful a passage of painting, much mocked at the time, but now we can appreciate the sheer brilliance of the handling there. You can tell the condition of a Manet or an Impressionist or another 19th century painting by looking at the peaks of the paint. If they're absolutely intact, if they're not flattened, if they are as crisp and fluid as when they were first painted, you know it's a painting in beautiful condition. But interestingly, there are some areas of the painting where we don't have this great thick, creamy paint. We actually have very thin paint, and this is also part of the Manet aesthetic, that things nearer us tend to be thickly painted with these very, very pronounced and beautiful brushstrokes. But as you go back, the paint gets thinner. And so in the very background here, you're actually seeing the white priming showing through in many places. So the paint is very thin. It's a sort of aerial perspective of solid things being near you and sort of vaporous things being further away from you. And so the technique actually reflects that. I just want to say something else about Manet's technique, which distinguishes him from not just the Impressionists, but from all the Salon painters that had gone before him. And that is that he developed this technique, which we now call peinture claire, which is a sort of blonde, light technique, lots of whites mixed in with his paint. So all the flesh tones are very white and dense. They're also quite flat. If you look at a painting like Plum Brandy, which is also in this room, you can see that the face of the girl there is like a sort of flat, light mask. And this is the absolute antithesis of painting the figure in the salon in the traditional way of 19th century painters. Up until the mid-19th century, the correct way to paint the figure, to paint arms, hands, faces, was to do a very accurate sort of drawing and undermodeling so that you worked up all the shadows on the pale ground, and then you put a thin layer of light-coloured, flesh-coloured paint on the top so that the shadows showed through and made the sort of half-tones in the shadows shine through that top layer of light paint. Manet did it exactly the opposite to that. If you had a face or the back of a head or an arm, you just put it down straight onto the white canvas in pink paint. So you just had an extraordinary sort of solid block of pink paint. There's a wonderful picture of Suzanne Lenhoff in the Metropolitan Museum where her hand he's just put down as five strokes of pink paint straight onto the ground, and that's how he started. Then he works on the details, the shadows. Not many shadows, you'll notice. No real half tones. It's just this extraordinarily direct way of painting. And Manet really started that. Many painters followed him in that sense. The Impressionists were sort of somewhere in between. The Impressionists did actually do some undermodeling in their figures. But Manet had this really uncompromising, direct way of painting faces and areas of flesh and hands and so on. And that distinguishes him from all the painters that preceded him and many of the painters that followed him.